Welcome to Coaching the Whole Educator, the podcast that helps instructional coaches, teacher leaders, and school leaders. I'm Becca, former educator and school coach turned transformational coach of coaches. I'm on a mission to help you improve your educator's effectiveness and resilience, especially the ones who need it most. Each week, we'll cover quick tips, strategies, and coaching mindsets so that you can be on top of your coaching game. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Hello, 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 coaches and leaders. I am very excited because my coaching colleague, who is just such a fantastic coach, is on the podcast with me. This is Whitney Triplett, and we are going to have such an interesting conversation today, distinguishing coaching and consulting. Often when I'm in schools, coaches are doing their thing, and what they don't realize is they're actually consulting and not coaching, but they're calling it coaching. So first of all, I want to welcome you to the show, Whitney.
Thank you so much for having me. You are a phenomenal colleague. I can't even say enough good things about you. I've learned so much from you as well. So I'm excited to be here today. Thank you again for having me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We learn so much from each other. I know every time I interact with you, I am a better coach and consultant. So, so let's first, before we jump into the content, I want you to just share with the listeners, what is your journey in education and what do you do now?
Yeah. So like many of our listeners, I started out in the classroom as well as a science teacher. I'm a science geek at heart. I'm going to say that to be honest. I love coaching all the things, but I do have a science geeky heart and brain. And then I got into coaching at a local middle school for a couple years. And then I branched out to do some work with, while I was coaching, doing some work with some of the universities that were not far from the schools that I was in, doing some professional development with them, bringing the professors in to teach classes and mentor and do all that great stuff. And then I transitioned into the corporate world for a little while, and I was doing some executive coaching for lawyers. So that kind of catapulted me in a different whole new horizon that was coaching in outside of the education world. But I can't leave education too far. So I've come back to do some coaching and consulting back in the education world, which is where my heart is.
Yeah. Okay. So let's jump right in. I want to talk about what's the difference between coaching and consulting for you.
Yeah. So I feel like consulting sometimes is that catch-all phrase. It's like, oh, you know, she's a consultant. It's like, well, what does that actually mean? What are you doing? And coaching is like, well, coach, are you also a therapist a little bit? And it's like, no, we're not doing any therapy. So coaching is going to be, I think of it as like a football coach or a baseball coach. Those are the people that are on the sideline. They're in the game with you, right? I can see things from a perspective that maybe you can't see because your head is in the game. I'm there to provide some insights to support you, to help you solve the problems. I'm not actually solving the problems for you because you have the knowledge and the skills and the expertise to be your best self. As the coach, I come in to do things to support you getting to the results that you want to have, right? But as the consultant, if you hire a consultant in, they're actually going to solve some of the problems for you. They will go in and do the work to help you get to the results that you want to have. So that's going to be the primary difference.
Tell me if this is overly simplistic, but the way I think about the distinction is where the expertise lies. Mm. So if I am working with someone and I want to pull out their expertise, and my job is to really ask questions and listen, right? And guide, I'm coaching. Mm-hmm. But if I'm coming in as the expert, right, or the person that knows a lot, and I'm positioned as the expertise lies in me, then I'm the consultant. Do you feel like
that's a perfect way to describe it? Absolutely. When I was working with teachers in their classrooms as a coach, I can't be the expert in all the things, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to pull that out of you, which is exactly what you're saying as a coach. And then, like you said, as a consultant, they've hired me to do this thing because I have that expertise.
So I would love, like, have you seen coaching and consulting being misplaced with coaches?
Yeah, especially with some of the like newer coaches, because mm-hmm. we want to go in and we want to fix some problems, right?
Yes.
And especially, you know, if you're fresh out of the classroom or if you see something happening with like a newer educator, somebody new to the profession, you're like, I know something that can fix this immediately. So you want to just kind of give them the knowledge, but mm-hmm. sometimes that's not the best way for them to learn.
You know, I actually think that if coaches could really get flat this distinction, coaching and consulting, and be very intentional and strategic about it, I think it would start to solve their problems around resistance and teachers not feeling valued as professionals. And that is a pain point that I hear over and over again for years now. And it's like, if only they would treat us as professionals. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about coaching is it really the context that I hold the other person. You're the expert. It's my job to pull out that expertise. How could someone not feel like a professional, right?
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about having a coach is that they're not evaluating you on anything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This is more of a safe space where you can come to me and you can ask me questions, and I'm not going to turn around and go run to the principal or to whomever your evaluator is and just share all your business, all the things that are right or wrong, right? It's a safe space for you to come and ask for some support because you want to grow yourself professionally.
Well, you know, I'm curious. You know, we're talking about like kind of a tool set now, the tool set of a coach versus the tool set of a consultant, right? And kind of we're loosely speaking right now. Sure. I'm curious if you could share what would you consider a tool set of a coach versus a consultant?
So I will say the number one skill that you have to have as a coach is active listening. And I mean, I know we've heard that phrase before.
Yes.
If you are not like engaged, and not just engaged so that way I can respond, right? Mm-hmm. I want to be able to dig deeper in the conversation to really get to the root of what's happening in the classroom or with your mindset. So you have got to have some really solid questioning skills to get people to get to that expertise that's within them. You have to be able to pull it out. So you have to listen and engage in a conversation that, again, makes people feel safe. Right? Mm-hmm. Let them know that you are invested in the conversation and invested in their growth. And that takes true active listening skills. So that toolbox has to be full of questions, follow-up questions. And also a part of that is knowing when to pause, right? Because mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. it can be a little too overwhelming. Two questions could be enough to take us 30 minutes.
Yes. I love that. I need to pause you for a second and just sit in this. This was brilliant. I love that you're like, you're not steering it. You're not like, I've already created the path and I'm going to make you go along with me, right? It's we are doing this together. We are creating this journey together.
Mm-hmm. And you set that destination at the beginning of your coaching relationship, right? What do you want to see for yourself? Is this a school year where you hope to engage in more data-driven instruction for your small groups that focuses on literacy? Like, what does that actually look like? So that way we can map out what the questions that I want to ask you to get you to where you want to be, right? So that coaching path is designed together for sure. I will say it's kind of a little bit different for the consulting side of it, right? Consulting, you actually have to have a true, like, tangible toolbox, whether that is going to different resources. I mean, you could be proficient in Canva, you can be Adobe. I mean, you just have to have all the actual tangible tools to create a product. So it just really depends. So when I do some curriculum work, curriculum development work, it could be, I mean, some people prefer to put all their things in Microsoft, and that's where you just put all, they prefer spreadsheets. So if that's what the client prefers, you do those spreadsheets, you get them organized. You know, you don't do as much instructional design of those things, but you organize it in a way to where it can make it accessible for whoever the client is.
You know, consultants aren't just people like you and me that are hired from outside the district. The coaches and leaders we're talking to, you can take on the role as consultant and not realize it, right? By showing up, right? You show up to a teacher's room and you're like, here is the thing I want you to do, right? You show up with the resource and essentially show someone how to use it. That's being a consultant. So that could be, here is the behavior management strategy I want you to use, or I want you to use turn and talk. Let's practice it. Turn and talk. Right? This is how you do it. That's being a consultant, right?
Absolutely it is. So anytime a school has a new product that you have gone in, like a train the trainer kind of thing, mm-hmm. you've turned into a consultant now for the school to train them on that product for effective use. You monitor it throughout the year. You go in and model. You go in and observe. You give feedback. I mean, all that is a part of consulting to make sure that that program is being implemented with fidelity. Mm-hmm. So that definitely is leaning into the consulting side. And that's where the school-based coaches kind of are a catch-all sometimes. Mm-hmm. where they end up doing some of the consulting, as you were mentioning, especially if there are new programs being implemented in the school mm-hmm. and you're in charge of implementing them and monitoring and all that good stuff, which.
Yes. Yes. And that's, you know, and it's like many times coaches don't get to choose that, right? It's chosen for them. Like, this is the thing I want you to do. And what I want to say to folks listening is it's not a problem what you're doing, but just be intentional. No, I'm not coaching right now. I'm consulting.
Yes, because the last thing we will want is for our, especially school-based coaches to be super overwhelmed, right? Because then they can't be their best selves to coach the staff that really need that support. So one thing that I used to do when I was school-based is I created like an RTI for my teachers. Who's on tier one?
Oh my gosh!
Yes, it was like tier one. I just need to maybe meet with that grade level or that content area. They're good to uh-huh. go. There are no fires, right? Mm-hmm. But if we were in tier three moving into like tier four, I needed that. I needed my professor in residence to be working with you. I needed an administrator. I needed like all these things. And I was giving like true coaching. So that was something that was helpful to just create a system for how you can actually, if it's one of you to 100 teachers, I mean, you have to create a system for yourself and then share that with your administrative team. So that way they can see your value and the work that you're putting in and the intentionality behind the coaching that you're going to be giving to different teachers.
I love this so much. Do you have a PDF of this like RTI for teachers?
Oh, I would have to go digging a little bit, but I'm sure I could come up with a little something and pop it on the website once it's
fine. Yes. Okay. I would love to get a link to this PDF once you find it and like place it. I feel like the listeners would love to be able to see this, like to see what you did, because it's just an interesting way. And it really supports my philosophy around differentiating for our teachers. Mm. And we know we can differentiate a million way for our kids. We can differentiate a million way for our teachers. I want to shift into a topic that's related to coaching versus consulting, and it's about assumptions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here we are. I'm a coach at a school, or I'm a leader at a school, right? A lot of our leaders listening are instructional leaders at their schools. And, you know, here I am deciding, do I need to be a consultant or a coach, right? We get to choose and be intentional once we know this distinction. And, you know, I move quickly and I make a decision like, oh, they need a consultant. They just need to be told what to do with behavior management, right? Like, I'm going to go in with this resource. What is the impact of making assumptions? Like what, how can coaching help us to not make assumptions?
Well, I will say the number one thing that has helped with not making assumption is taking the word should out of my vocabulary.
Yes!
It not exist. Working with adult learners, take should out. I've heard so many times, oh, well, I emailed them or they should have had da-da-da because they had a training or a one-time thing. So now they're supposed to be able to implement, you know, everything immediately. And it's like, what world is that how people learn? So we know we are in the art and this, we understand the art and the science of learning, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things will apply to adult learners as well. But sometimes we make assumptions that if we just put it in an email, they can do it, they can read it, they can process it, and then they can go out and implement it. But that's just not the way that people learn, adults included. So the number one thing I would recommend is taking should out of your vocabulary, because should can change the culture in your school building, right? The teacher should be doing this, right? We should be calling home. We should be putting in grades. We should be. That doesn't allow us to be human. That doesn't allow us to feel heard. That doesn't allow space for us to learn together if we have a bunch of shoulds in our vocabulary and we're assuming that people can do things that maybe they may need some more support for.
And the way that we, you know, there's the like the, I don't call it a trigger, but like the thing that tells us like, oh, I have, right? The question is, what assumptions do I have? Right. That's the first question we want to ask ourselves. Not do I make assumptions? You all make assumptions. I make assumptions. He makes assumptions. We all make assumptions. We do. It's a natural thing that our brain does. So what assumptions am I making? A place to look as our shoulds, which is like, I have a whole workshop on the shoulds. It blows everyone's minds. Mm-hmm. Right. And then look at, okay, if I have a should about something, what questions could I ask to learn more about it? Right. Instead of being stopped at like, well, they should be blah, blah, blah. Cause that stops our action. We get to sit in our chair and be right. Mm-hmm. And then they're wrong. And then no one's helped. Right. And then like, usually they're, you know, it's like, that's a resistant teacher. Yeah, and it's like, no, like they're that's not coaching.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And the quicker we can address the fact that we do have our own biases and things like that. So we have to check ourselves. That's where the active listening, questioning, all those thoughts could come right back around. I need to be questioning myself. Like, why am I assuming this about this person? What space do they have to grow if I'm making this assumption about them? Mm-hmm. What impact is that having on our coaching relationship? So I would definitely say, check yourself, have somebody, another consultant, another coach that works with you.
Yes.
Too, right? We've had conversations that I'm like, I need to pause, stop talking for a second so I can listen to what's going on with this person.
Exactly. And, you know, it really helps to have another coach work with you. Because like when we have coaching peers, and this is why we need a coaching community, all of us. And this can be such an isolating thing, right? And so I'm really working hard to like create a coaching community because we need each other. We really need each other to like thrive.
And you do a phenomenal job of that, by the way. Let me put that in there. You do a phenomenal job of bringing us all together. So thank you for that.
Thank you. So this has been such an amazing conversation. I hate that we have to wrap this up. But I hope everyone got something out of this, the distinction between coaching and consulting. We'll make sure we get those tiered that RTI for teachers in your hands. And let's see, Whitney, where can our listeners find you if they're interested in bringing you in to have a conversation with them or work with you?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So you can find me at WhitneyTriplett.co, but you can also email me at WhitneyNTriplett@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your brilliance.
It's always a joy, always a pleasure. I appreciate you, all of our laughs and all the good things that we share.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this episode. I know that it can be pretty eye-opening when I share with coaches the distinction between coaching and consulting. And if you find that you're interested in learning some of those or even expanding on some of those coaching skills we discussed, feel free to reach out. My contact information is in the show notes, and we have a wide range of workshops, virtual, in-person, as well as just one-on-one coaching as well. And if you're really interested in having a super transformational, powerful impact on your coaching, we do have the Whole Educator Academy. So feel free to reach out. We'll put some of those links in the show notes as well. And until next time, just remember, don't treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them how they want to be treated. Take care.